Bless now the going forth of your word to our hearts. And Lord, we invite you to examine our lives as Christians, to form, mold, shape us into the people of God that we need to be in these last days. Lord, let us not be swayed or polluted by political correctness or some threat, Lord, that would come to us in some apathetic way or some apologetic way that we should tiptoe around as Christians and not let our voice be heard. Lord, like never before, we need to stand up and know what we believe and proclaim what we believe. Lord, there are a lot of voices out there and a lot of lunacy, a lot of crazy things. Like never before, we need to stand up boldly, filled with your Holy Spirit, to declare the truth. So, Father, we ask that you'd bless these series of Wednesday nights together. We pray now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Well, listen, grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1. Go to Matthew and turn right, and you'll come eventually to Colossians and turn to the first chapter. And we are looking at a series entitled Being a Christian, or really, technically, it's going to be called Life and Bible Series. The Life and Bible Series, tonight, we're looking at being a Christian at your job. And we're going to have a lot of fun these next few weeks. But tonight, we're going to start out with being a Christian at your job and what that means. And it's going to be part of the Life and the Bible Series, being a Christian at your job tonight. And we're going to be looking at, in these series, some things that I hope will really challenge you and I regarding our Christian walk and how we ought to be living. Colossians chapter 1. This will be our theme verse for the entire series. It's an awesome passage. Paul writing to the church at Colossae. And there, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will." What an awesome prayer. "In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy." Verse 12. "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Is Paul not an amazing communicator? I mean, what that guy just said just then in a prayer is extremely heavy and exactly what we need. All these things that he prays right there for the church at Colossae, I'm praying, been praying for you and I. This has been my prayer for you. Way back when we were a home fellowship, a home Bible study out of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, we had t-shirts made up with that scripture verse on the back of them. And I pray that today, I pray that tonight, that that prayer would be something that governs our lives, not only in this series, but really forevermore. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at a challenging thing about real Christianity and what it means. And I hope we have some fun together. But tonight, we're going to be looking, as I mentioned, life in the Bible, being a Christian at your job. And then the second week, we're going to look at life in the Bible, being a Christian in your relationships. We're going to be looking at that one in the light of finding a husband and finding a wife. How do you look? What do you look for? Finances in that particular lesson. What about them? We're going to be looking at self-control and servanthood and how our time and resources are spent as perhaps a single person. Our relationships. And then on January 27th, life in the Bible, we're going to be looking at being a Christian at home, and that's something that we're going to be talking about, getting married and being married. We're going to talk about communication. We're going to talk about raising kids. I think it's going to be some fun. We're going to talk about how to respect him as your husband or how to love her as your wife. We're going to talk about sex and a whole lot more. And And I don't know how much time we'll have for the sex topic, so I'll warn you in advance as we get to that week of you're going to want to make sure your kids are in their class over here next door rather than the main sanctuary. But it's going to be a tremendous time. And I'm sure that particular study, the place will be packed for that topic. But tonight we're going to be kicking it off with what it means to be a Christian at the workplace and that our faith and how that plays in to our life as believers. And so I'm going to ask you to take a lot of notes. We've got a lot of verses. I'm going to ask you to write these things down. And I hope that it activates you. First of all, as a Christian, we serve a very personal God. I love that. He is not a God that is somehow removed and somehow distant. He's not the God of, for example, the agnostic. You know, the agnostic is an interesting person. An agnostic is not an atheist. An atheist wishes and dreams and tries to convince themselves that there is no God. And they're very worried, by the way. I've never seen an atheist that's filled with peace. Because no matter how good their day goes, they're still concerned by the end of the day that what if God's real? What if God is true? Atheists are funny, and they're atheists for as long as it's convenient. But when really, really things go bad, atheists seem to get religion real quick. But then there's the agnostic, and the agnostic, that's an interesting word, agnostic, because it comes from the word ignoramus. Did you know that? Ignoramus. I'm not making that up. Look it up. It's true. It means this, that there is probably a God, but he cannot be known. Thus, you are ignorant or an ignoramus, or you're an agnostic. An agnostic would say, yeah, I think there's a God out there, but I've concluded he can't be known. Well, what kind of a God would that be if he's out there somewhere and he can't be known? Not much of a God. I was watching an awesome DVD this week about the NASA moon program. And one of the guys, one of the astronauts of the NASA program, the Apollo program, left Earth as a non-believer. And he got up into space and the space capsule turned around, the Apollo capsule turned around and he saw the Earth and he said, there's no way that's an accident. And when he got back to Earth, he started going to Bible studies. And on the DVD, and it's not a Christian DVD, he says, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. When he got all the way out in space, turned around and went, wow! He left a non-believer and then saw evidence and became a believer. We tonight proclaim that we're Christians. Our God is a personal God. If we're Christians and our God is a personal God and he's made all that there is, how much are we letting them govern our lives? Are we really letting him be the Lord of our life? If that's true, it's going to be evident in this thing that we call our jobs or our workplace. Number one, jot it down tonight. Being a Christian at your job means a few things. Number one, at work and your faith. How do I go to work and be a Christian? How do I go to my workplace and be a believer? How do I go to my workplace and exercise my faith? Understand this, that first of all, work, our jobs, is a necessity. Did you know that? You say, man, I've been trying to get out of my job. No, your job is a necessity given to you by God. By the way, listen, it's a proven fact that work, just the aspect of work itself. Now, we're not getting in yet to where you work and what you do, but just the aspect of work, just the concept of work is good for our sanity. Did you know that? It's good for you. You don't sound very convinced about that right now. It's actually good for you. It's good for you to be busy, as it were, as Christians, about our Father's business. What you and I don't often realize is that our Father's business is often sending you and I to work, to the job place. Man was created to be a doer. We love to do things. A woman might make a project, or she might, and this is amazing to me. Yeah, you know what? She might knit something and produce something in a few hours. That's one thing. A man might go to a job or have his career. That's one thing. To me, personally, because I've watched it happen, the most amazing job that I've ever seen done is when a woman gives birth to a baby and raises that baby up and then grows them up and then turns them loose into the society and they become viable, strong, citizens in the world. That's amazing to me, because I don't know about you, but I want to have a report card as to how I'm doing. Mothers are amazing people because they don't get a report card for years. Think about it. And even then, some, you know, you don't know what kind of grade the kids getting, you know, but it's an amazing thing. But God made mankind as doers. We have a great sense of satisfaction when we can see what's gone on with our own hands. By the way, God himself is a doer, isn't he? And so as we think about jobs and think about what God does, listen, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, Genesis 2, 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." Verse 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it." Listen, there is a great holy thing for you and I to be employed at our work, at our jobs, and be doing things. Tonight, maybe you're retired. That doesn't mean you just sit around and watch Oprah. God help you! Just because you're retired means now you have more time for God. Now you have more time to serve. Now you have more time to be a doer. Work is a necessity. Going to our job is a good thing. It's not a curse. God's blessed us. And it's a great, listen, it is the great, great proving ground for ministry in our lives. So many people get this thing in their minds that they're not going to, listen, they're not going to work. They're going to go in the ministry. I just got out of high school, or maybe I just got out of college, and I think I'm not going to get a job. I'm going to go in the ministry. Wait a minute. I think personally that you should be much at your job before ever you go into the ministry. Some people look at ministry as some of a way of an out to stay away from having to work. Little do they know. Amazing. No. God made us doers. In fact, Paul the Apostle himself seemed to have a tent-making business on the side, which brought his income in, allowing him to preach the gospel. Keep that in mind. It's very important that we understand that our workplace is a place where we are to exercise our faith. The Christian has been sent out into this world, and I want to ask you, it's not that you occupy some pulpit somewhere or you go to some mission field and only then do you think that you're fulfilling Matthew 28, where Jesus said, "Go out into all the world and preach the gospel." There is more gospel preaching taking place in the workforce and in the company or out on the construction sites than maybe any other place in the world. "Oh, but Pastor, I want to go into all the world and preach the gospel." That's right. Go do it. And that means working for IBM or working for this place or that place. And I want to encourage you that we as Christians are to be a people engaged in our work. And tomorrow, when we go to our jobs, we are to take Christ there. And this is what that looks like. Mark it down. It looks like this. We are to be, as Christians, if we're going to live out our faith in the workplace, you guys, we need to establish a biblical work ethic. This is important. Our modern culture has lost its work ethic. And I don't know personally, I kind of sound pessimistic. I don't know if the good old U.S. of A., the old time, where the sticker or the stamp "Made in the USA" meant something. When I was a little kid, it meant something for a product to be made in America. Not anymore. I hope that turns around. Frankly, I don't think it will, unless this culture embraces a biblical work ethic. And it's interesting to me that the Bible sets the highest standard for performance in any culture regarding men's instruction, education, and advancement. It's the Bible. What a biblical work ethic is, honestly, it's what created the most productive, illuminated, passionate cultures in the world. Wherever the gospel, the Judeo-Christian Bible, goes in the world, it creates an awesome ethic. The Bible's very clear about that. Value of life, individual rights, the love for fellow man, equality, the knowledge of the Lord. The Judeo-Christian influence is the most advancing faith that the world has ever seen. And I challenge you, Those of you who know history, go look at the nations of the world and put up a scale, as it were, and match where Judeo-Christian biblical ethics went into a culture. What happened to that culture versus any other religion that's out there today? Look and see what happens. It's very important. So as a believer, you and I need to go to our workplace tomorrow with this in mind, that I am going to go to my job with a biblical work ethic. What does that look like? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. By the way, I'm curious, are there any business, either managers or business owners in here tonight? Raise your hands. You're going to maybe want to get this teaching and give it to your workers and say, this is what we ought to be doing. And here's the verse. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. In other words, be conscious of the fact that whatever you do, that there's people watching. And whatever you do, you're doing it for God and not for man. How many of you are employed right now in some way, shape, or form? Raise your hands. Tomorrow, when you go to your job or whenever you go back to your job, you are to do it to the glory of God, and that is between you and your God. You're not doing it for her, or you're not doing it for him. You're not doing it necessarily for the bottom line of the company. Do all those things benefit? Yes. But as a Christian, I march to a greater standard. It's not even a promotion. I don't do these things. Listen, the world where I worked for so long, and you are probably working now, the world, have you noticed in a secular company, how, at least in a corporation I worked for, very high-end corporation, global group, everybody's very kind to each other. I worked there 13 years, very kind to each other. Everybody was very kind to each other. And by the way, the company I worked for, if you cussed, you were written up. It was not even a Christian company. You had to sign what's called a fiduciary agreement that even on your off hours, you would stand for what is best for the company, and that, listen, that you would present your body and your mind on Monday morning ready to go to work. The corporation I worked for, you signed that. Very interesting. The world seems to get along better in their gathering, and they seem to be cordial, and they seem to make things work. But what's the goal? The goal is this, isn't it? The goal is the promotion. The goal is ever upward and onward, right? For the Christian, it's sad, but Christians seem to sometimes go to work like, oh, ho-hum, whatever. Maybe the rapture happened tonight, and then I won't have to worry about going to work. We can't be like that. We are to be Christians, and the Christian is to have the greatest work ethic you've ever seen. If we're going to be real Christians, because we're doing it for the Lord. Also this, secondly, it's this. At work and your faith means that we are to be translating a godly example to everybody we come in contact with. Every Monday morning, listen to this, the Lord gives you and I a pulpit to live out what we learned on Sunday. Think about it. Why do you come on Sunday? You're to come on Sunday to get your batteries charged up, to go out Monday into the world to make a difference. The world is your pulpit. Your job is your pulpit. Oh man, you know what? I can't stand my job. I hate it. Listen, probably everybody who works with you knows you hate your job too, but you're saying, no, I just want to be in the ministry someday. Ain't gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. God will not promote that. You need to work if you want to be in the ministry, or if you want to have the next position up on the ladder at your company or wherever you're at, you need to work yourself out of the position you're in right now. And you know how you do that? The principle is the same. That's why there's a lot of Christian authors whose books have become bestsellers in the secular world regarding business management and motivation. You want to know why? It's biblical principles that make the greatest employees, managers, and leaders in the world. God's word is true. Be a godly example, and by being that, it translates to other people. Very important. Genesis 39, 21. The Bible says, for the Lord was with Joseph. That's an amazing thing. Are you a Christian tonight? Yep. Do you have a job? Yep. Are you unemployed and you're looking for a job? Yep. God is with you. You can't say that you're a Christian and God is not with you. We need to act in faith. I am a Christian. I'm going to my workplace tomorrow. And as the Lord was with Joseph, so the Lord will be with me. And you need to believe that. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 2:26, "And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor with both the Lord and with men." God is not a respecter of persons, my friends. And when we go to work tomorrow, the Lord's favor will be upon us. And we need to be walking in that promise of His. Christianity tells us that the Christian is highly favored by God. Jesus said it in John 17:23. He said, listen, "I in them and you," that's the Father, "in me, that they may be made complete or perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and I have loved them," that's us, "as you have loved me, Father." What an awesome thing. We are highly favored. So tomorrow when we go to work, we don't need to drag our face down in the dirt. We need to go into that place and we need to be ones who are translating our faith to those that are around us. We cannot be here at church tonight and not be active Christians tomorrow. I pray that your Christianity is 24/7. It's got to be, or else it's not real. Thirdly, under this point, at work in your faith, listen, maintaining the faithful attitude. I hope to have some fun with this one before we move on. I need to be careful, though. But I personally, I can tell you that I have seen no greater power in the workplace than a good attitude. I made mention on Sunday about the company I worked for, and it was appropriate for what we were talking about on Sunday. But the Lord saw fit because, number one, when I went to work for that company, I personally knew I was not supposed to be at that company. I mean, I knew I shouldn't be there. God had another plan, and He blessed that. I was so happy to be there and so happy to be employed that I looked like a kid in a toy store every day. I remember that first day pulling up in the parking lot, walking into this building, knowing that, Lord, this is ridiculous that I'm even going to be working here. That I remember standing by the gate of the company, and I said, Lord, grant me the favor. At that time, Pastor Chuck Smith was taking us through the book of Daniel. And I remember saying, Lord, give me favor like Daniel had in Nebuchadnezzar's court. Give me favor. I need favor. And I got to tell you, if you're bold enough to pray the prayer, God is amazing enough to answer the prayer. The Bible says in Daniel 11:32, down towards the end of that verse, "And those who know their God shall carry out great exploits." Do you believe that or not? Those of you who believe that are going to say, Lord, let's do something. Let's shake this house. And I pray that all of us as believers, when we go to our workplace, that we really see it as this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I tell you what, the attitude that you have will be radically changed because you won't be driving to work moaning and grumbling all the way there. It's like, you know what? God got me up. I'm in the car. I'm on the freeway. I know it's full of traffic, but if I make it to the front door of that building, this is God's will for my life. That's a great way to live. Years ago in the early 1980s, I was in flight school and there's a thing that they teach you, and I'm just going to give you the little jingle that they tell you. It's this, that the attitude of your airplane determines your altitude. The attitude of your airplane determines your altitude. It doesn't take an Einstein to figure that out. If your airplane is pointed up, guess where you're going to go? If your airplane's pointed down, guess where you're going to go? The attitude, meaning the direction in which it's pointed, is going to determine your altitude. If the plane is straight and level, you're going to be level. Your altitude will stay the same. The attitude determines the altitude. And if you and I tonight determine, you know what? I am going to give my job and my effort to the Lord. Guess which way the nose of your airplane is going to be pointing up, and it's going to equate into altitude. Makes a big difference. You won't crash at your job when everything you do at that job is unto the Lord and you are looking upward and onward unto Him, and let the Lord take care of the politics in that company. The attitude is all important. As a Christian, your attitude will determine your altitude. In Philippians 4:4, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." I wrote that verse down today, and I remember that song, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Remember that? All of us who are like 90 years old, remember that one? Attitude is everything. The former CEO of, I think it's General Motors, I forget. Is it Jack Welch? Is that his name? Anybody remember? GE? Whoever he is. I think his last name's Welch. He talks about how he could have a Harvard grad show up for a job with glowing reports, and the guy's got all the textbook stuff you need to have an incredible job, and he says that guy doesn't turn out to be the man or the woman. Why? He says, because he talks about the attitude of that person being the most powerful thing that works for them in their lives. And listen, that is important for the believer at our workplace. How so? You think about your attitude. I thought of this. Consider King Saul. Who was King Saul trying to kill for years and years and years? David. What was David's attitude? David's attitude, you can read about it in the Bible. David sat down and wrote songs, psalms. He sang songs. Saul's throwing spears. David picks up a harp and sings a song. What a great attitude. Hey, David, come here. Yes, King Saul. Hey, David, look over there. And then David writes a psalm. Oh, you are a lunatic, dear King Saul. But he would write the psalms, and you can read them, and they're amazing. The attitude of David is described in the Psalms. And yes, there were times when he was very, very down, and he just despised his own life. But most of the time, it's the psalm that he cries out to God. And by the time you get to the end of the psalm, his attitude's changed. He always took it to the Lord. And that's a great, great thing. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. We're talking about attitude. Check this out. We need to have this on our desks or on our truck or in our wherever we work. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Verse 29, for, and I love verse 29. A lot of people focus on verse 28, but come on, get to verse 29. For whom He foreknew, that means before you were ever hatched, God knew you. Before you were ever even thought of coming into this universe, before He ever made the worlds, God knew you. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's an awesome victory. I'm going to go to work tomorrow. Yes, yes, and what? I'm going to go to it because you know what? I love the Lord. I'm called according to His purposes. And before He ever called me, He knew me. And so He's conforming me into His own image. Christian, tonight, listen, are you awake? Are you there? Huh? Listen, this is important because how do you think you and I are going to be conformed into the image of Christ if it ain't going to happen at our job? Oh, Jack, it's going to happen at home. And there, that's in the next few weeks. We'll cover that one. It's every move you make, every step you take. He'll be watching you. He is molding and shaping us at our work, in our play, in our homes, in our singleness, or in our marriage, with our children. He's molding us. Okay, number two. You ready for this one? Being a Christian at your job, okay? At work and your boss. Bosses, by the way, are used by God to shape us. I know you don't want to hear this. But no matter what, God uses bosses to shape us. You say, Jack, that's it, I'm leaving. You have no idea the kind of boss I have. Did you know that whatever kind of boss, and we've all had bosses. But are you a Christian tonight? Yes. Then the boss you have, literally, God knows, and He knew before He created the universe. You see, Jack, my boss is Satan's son. God has you there for a reason. There is a purpose. God is not looking over every human being on the face of the earth and you're in his blind spot. He knows who you work for. There's a reason why you're there. Colossians 4:1 says, "Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Or if you're a boss tonight, it's bosses, give your employees what is just and fair, knowing that the bosses have a boss in heaven. God. But even if you have an ungodly boss, the Lord knows this, and there's a reason why you're there. We're to pray for our bosses appointed to us by God. A lot of employment is like a marriage. Some people, you know, when it's going great, you never hear a man or a husband or a wife complain about their marriage or who they married when things are great. And then you hear this bologna, when they say, "Well, you know what? I don't think I ever loved her in the first place." You know what? You get your eyes off the purpose for which God has created you, and then you start talking that insanity. The same thing is true about a job. Everything's great, and then there's challenges at the job. And then you start thinking, "Well, I don't think God wanted me here in the first place." My friend, that is very, very wrong thinking. Don't go about getting yourself fired. That's a bad witness. Do your job, even if it stinks, do your job to the glory of God, and let the Lord, listen, he's well able to close the company down if he wants to move you on. He can tell the boss, and the boss doesn't even know God, "Let him go today." And you're free, man. But don't go and get yourself fired. There's a witness to your boss. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, "No one can serve two masters." You say, "What do you bring that verse up for?" Because you have been ordained by God, and that boss has been ordained for you wherever you work. Listen, you can't serve two masters. When you follow the Lord as you are as a Christian tonight, and you go to that crazy boss that you work for, know this. You don't serve two masters. You serve one master. Guess who he is? It's not your boss. That's why in serving your boss, you look behind the boss, over the boss's head. You're serving the Lord. When that boss says, "You know what? I want you to shine my shoes." You just say, "Lord, I'm going to shine your shoes right now." Makes all the difference in the world. Listen to this. Did you know that your boss is your boss? You're not the boss. They're the boss. That's pretty profound, isn't it? Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ." Is that not awesome? Tomorrow when you go back to work, you're serving the Lord. And your reward will be from God. So here's the cool thing. Do you have a demonic boss? Yes. We want to work there too. Because every time you look in the Bible, where God puts a Joseph with Pharaoh, look what happens. When God puts a Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar, look what happens. When God sends the Jews out into the world in the diaspora, and they wind up in every country of the world, look who became the bankers. Look who became the accountants. Look who became the doctors. The doctors. Look who became the attorneys. Did you know that? Did you know how the Jews learned their trade? When they were in Egypt, Egypt said, "You know what? Let's make them slaves." "All right, let's make them slaves. Hey, we'll have them do all the work, and we'll just float around on the Nile." Okay, guess what? That's how the Jewish people learned how to be incredible accountants and bankers and businessmen. Did you know that? It happens in culture after culture after culture. Hitler, "Let's enslave them. The ones we don't kill, let's enslave them." Guess what they learned? International banking. Over and over again. In the worst situations, you and I as Christians are to flourish in that place. It's absolutely awesome. Our faith, our Jesus, our Bible is beyond resilient. Sometimes we think our Christianity is going to break if we pull it out and use it. It's awesome. And we need to take it everywhere. Well, by serving our bosses, we're actually serving the Lord Jesus. And I have been very spoiled in my life. I'll confess that right now. I have had a couple of bosses when I was 15 to 17 during the summer. In fact, one of the bosses I had when I was 15 went to this church for years until he died a couple years ago. I was 15 years of age. And then when I got out of school, I worked for a construction owner. He was my boss. And the guy, the business became very successful, unfortunately, because I was paid ridiculous amounts of money. And I was a Christian, and so all that was fine. But in the success, he began to get into drugs and prostitution. And he was absolutely a mess. And the more he was in the mess, the more I ran the company as a kid. But he paid me ridiculous amounts of money. Probably guilt, I don't know. But I saw the misery of that man's life. And his life ended in ruin. And it was terrible. But after that time, I've had two bosses in all my life. I worked for Baxter International. It's a global healthcare corporation. I worked in a science research lab. And I worked in that job for 13 years, and I had a great boss. And then I wound up moving out to Chino Hills. We started a home Bible study. It took off. And for a matter of time, I did both those things. And then I wound up resigning from that job at Baxter. And for the last 17 years, I've had Jesus as my boss. And so I've had really two bosses. And so I can't speak to you much about having all kinds of bosses. But I've watched people and I've seen people go through various types of bosses, and yet the Word of God is true no matter what kind of boss you have. It doesn't change. And so that's why I'm saying that, because I don't want you to come to me later and say, well, that was fine tonight, but you don't know the guy I work for. I don't know the guy you work for, the woman you work for, but God does, and there's a reason why you work there. Another thing is this. At work and our bosses, did you know that your boss trusts you? Maybe they haven't said it, but they trust you. If they didn't trust you, you'd be gone tomorrow. And that's an amazing thing. I want you to receive that from the Lord. I don't mean receive what I'm saying from the Lord. I'm saying receive that holy, amazing position from the Lord. If you go to a job tomorrow, you need to understand something. The leadership of that company trusts you. Don't break that trust. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful or trustworthy. The Christian should be the most trustworthy person in the company. Hands down. And when trust grows, responsibility grows. Is that not a fact? You could work for the worst company in the world, but if you're doing your job under the Lord, they're going to turn around and they're going to say, man, this person's trustworthy. We can give them the keys. Don't ever violate that. In Psalm 75, verse 6, the Bible says, for promotion does not come from the east or from the west, nor from the south, but God's the judge. Verse 7, is that awesome? God promotes us. See, Jack, I don't know if anybody's noticing me at the company. Just stay doing what you're doing until A, God moves you on, or B, God opens up another door. Until he does, be faithful. If they recognize it or not, stay at it. Our culture, the young people today, I don't know, man, the young people today need to learn perseverance. Perseverance means you hang in there when it's tough. Too many young kids today give up when it's tough. You know, this bumper sticker you see on cars that sometimes it says, when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. No. When the going gets tough, you stick it out. You make it work. Again, so much of our employment is like a marriage. Make it work. And then also, thirdly, under this point, is that did you know that your boss depends on you? They really do. Genesis 41:39. Listen to this. Our bosses depend on us. Genesis 41:39. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made you to know all this, There is no one so discerning and wise as you, Joseph. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Wow, this is the Pharaoh talking to a Jew. Joseph was a prisoner. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed Joseph in his robes of fine linen, put a gold chain around his neck, and he made him ride in his chariot as second in command. And the men shouted before him, make way! Thus he put in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift a hand or foot in all of Egypt. Is that awesome? Do you believe that? What I just read, do you believe that's in the Bible? Do you believe it happened? I do. And I believe the God that did that to Joseph will do it to you too. Will do it to me too. Look, I'm counting on it. I'm counting on that. Number three, being a Christian at your job means this, at work and your co-workers. Oh yeah, co-workers. But listen to this, as a Christian, cooperating with others is a learned discipline and God wants us to learn it. You see, Jack, I work with a bunch of unbelievers. They're godless, cussing, they're drinking, they're throwing stuff at people, they're telling dirty jokes, they're you know, kicking the dog and all this stuff. Again, God knows that. You have been placed there. And there's a way to handle that. But we have been designed by God to be team players. Did you know that? Amen. How do you think empires get built? How do you think things happen? You got to come together. So yeah, that's good. You know, okay. The Christian should lead the way about coming together, even if you're working for non-believers. You think everybody in Egypt was a Jew? Joseph seemed to be the only one around who believed in the God of the Bible. Joseph created an empire. Listen, co-workers, it's a big deal. God is working in our relationship with our co-workers. In Romans 12:18, the Bible says, if possible, so far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. What a great verse that is. That's Romans 12:18. That's a great verse. Listen, as much as it is possible, live at peace with all men. That means when you and I, and let me say this. You say, well, Pastor, you got it so easy. You work at a church. Let me tell you something about a church. You may go to work tomorrow and you have a rotten boss or rotten co-workers. We go to work tomorrow and Satan's waiting at the front door. I mean, he loves to attack churches. And then you think, you get this thing in your mindset, well, I work with a bunch of Christians. Like we've got wings fluttering and you can hear the sound of harps playing and nobody, you know, wakes up having a bad attitude and people just come to church and it's, you know what? Let's pray for one another. That would be awesome if it was like that all the time. It's like that, but not all the time. Sometimes it's, you know what? I think we need to pray for you. It's a war, man. And Satan would love to shut down this church or any church. Think about it. The company you work for may or may not be a threat to him, but I tell you, a Bible-teaching church is. Think about it. Co-workers. Being side by side with a co-worker is reality, my friend. It's kind of like this. You ever meet people? They can tell you how to be married. They can tell you how to raise kids. And they're like 19 years old and they've never been married and they've have you ever seen those kind of people? Well, you know what you really need to do? Oh, do you have kids? No, but I'm just telling you that. Then just go away. Well, think about it. Side by side with coworkers is where Christianity hits the road. It's where it works. See, it'd be kind of cool if we could just have Christianity in here. And then you go home and you don't talk to anybody. And you go to work. Now, I know some people have jobs where you don't talk to anybody. You just do your little, your, you know, whatever it is. Your telemarketing thing or whatever. You're in like a little cocoon. I mean, I couldn't handle that personally. But some people do that, and that's awesome. But you gotta meet people. God will see to it that you meet people in some way, shape, or form. If you work in an ice box, then you know maybe in your leisure you're going to meet people. But the thing is, coming together with people is a reality, and God is into that. And how will an unbelieving world ever get to know Jesus if we don't tell them? This is a big deal. By the way, friendship evangelism can never be denied. Friendship evangelism is the most powerful form of evangelism known to man. Did you know that? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for having evangelistic crusades. God uses them. I'm all for them. But around the globe, there are more people who come to faith in Christ via friendship evangelism than any other way. You see, Jack, what are you talking about? It means this. It's with your coworker. I want to make this clear too. When you don't show up to your coworker and say, "Hey, hi, my name's Jack. What's your name? Mike. Hey, Mike. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Who's never believed in him, and I perish without everlasting life." You don't do that. Don't ever do that. I'm dead serious. You actually stick out your hand and shake the guy or girl's hand saying, "It's nice to meet you." And you get involved in the project or you get going. Keep your mouth shut. Don't tell them. "Oh, what do you tell them? Oh, you..." I'm going to lay the call on them. I'm going to go through the call on them. We love the call, but it doesn't work that way. You don't do that. Friendship evangelism is working with your coworkers side by side through thick and thin. And over time, listen, over time, an amazing thing begins to take place. Now, look, if God tells you, "Tell them about me now," then you tell them about him now. You do that. But most often, it doesn't work that way. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, "How can two walk together unless they're in agreement?" And I have found that the greatest form of leading somebody to Christ is letting them get to know the Jesus that governs your life. And when they turn to you, and I know this almost sounds cliché-ic, but it's true. When they turn to you and they want to ask you a question about, you know, "What's the deal with you? What's happening?" That's powerful stuff. At work with your coworkers, listen, mark this down. The power of friendship evangelism, the reason why it works, because remember, we're Christians. They're impressed at work with you because they never hear you complain. Everybody's complaining, but you don't complain. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh." What is the lust of the flesh in the context of this message? Complaining. People get together and complain about everything. The Christian doesn't. And people, they start to take notice of that. They start to look at that. A Christian man or a woman who's thankful on the job is an anomaly, man. Is an amazing thing. The Bible says in Luke 3:14, "Likewise, the centurions came to John the Baptist and asking, saying, 'What shall we do?' And so John the Baptist said to them, 'Do not intimidate anyone or accuse people falsely, and be content with your pay.'" I was just with two people. They were working, and I was sitting in the back seat. That's all I'll say. They were working, and I was with them for hours. They didn't know me. I didn't know them. And the whole time, they were complaining about their pay. The whole time. I couldn't believe it. And in the same night, as they complained about their pay, they were both, in their arguments, comparing one another's... "What size speedboat did you get?" "Oh, I got a 22-footer. "Oh, man, mine's 19-footer. Well, they're complaining about their pay. And I thought, this is crazy. This is amazing. Don't, Christian, do not complain about your pay. Don't do it. Ask, if you think you're underpaid, ask God to have them give you a raise. I'm telling you right now. Anybody hear me when I said that? I mean it. Very, very important. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 9 says, "Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by the serpents in the wilderness. Don't complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer." Yikes. Christians ought not to be complaining. You know what's cool about the temptation to complain. If you're at work, go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom, shut the door. Complain to God about it. That's called prayer. God, this is driving me crazy. That bum got a raise. I didn't get anything. God, where's the justice in that? Tell him. But don't tell your coworkers. Why? Because your main purpose for being there is to lead them to Christ. You think it's to pay your bills? Are you kidding me? You don't go to work to pay your bills. That's a side note. You're a Christian. God sends you to the work to be a witness to lead others to Christ. And in the process of that, he'll pay your bills. Also this, at work with our coworkers, don't be surprised when they go to you when something's up. Friendship evangelism, this guy's not a complainer. You know what? She seems to have her head on straight. And then one of your coworkers will have a marital problem, or their kid will get run over, or something will happen, and guess who they're going to come to? Please take this right. I'm not saying this for any self-aggrandizement whatsoever. I worked in a research lab. I took my Christianity seriously. And human resources, and by the way, just at our address, we had 2,000 employees at our address. And there were 66,000 employees in the region. Check this out. Human resources would call my manager and ask if my manager would pull me off the job to go down to human resources because this man or this woman just found out that either their husband or wife died, or that their son or daughter died, or that they just came home, or they came to work just finding out that their husband or wife left them. And they would call my manager and he would have me go down there and talk to them in a big corporation. Why? I'm an absolute bonehead, but it was the Jesus part. It was the Jesus part. And they never told me, by the way. Now, don't say anything about God. They just went, Jack, can you talk to Mr. Johnson, please? And they would just conveniently walk away with their coffee mug. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. God's my judge on this. I'm not joking. When something's up, your witness at work, God will use it. He'll open up spiritual doors for you to speak to people. Also this, they will know that you know your stuff. A Christian at the job should know his or her stuff. You know what I mean by stuff? What do you do? What do you do? That thing you do, it's given to you by God, so know it. Are you a cement truck driver? Be the best cement truck driver in the universe to the glory of God. I'm not kidding. Are you a saleswoman? Be the best saleswoman the world has ever seen. And again, this translates into life. Men or women will come and say, my husband's leaving me or my wife left me. My answer to them is, go home and be the best Christian they've ever left. Do you hear what I'm saying? By the way, I don't care how ugly you are. If you determine to follow Jesus, come on. Focus. If you decide to follow Jesus, I've seen people become very, very handsome or very beautiful when they decide to follow the Lord. I'm telling you, are you having marital problems? Get right with Jesus and your spouse will see you irresistible. Jesus begins to come out of you and they'll fall in love with Christ. Take it to the workplace. Follow Jesus. You know what? They won't understand. Man, you know what? Man, do you see the Lord coming out of her? She's awesome. They won't do that. They'll just say, I don't know what the deal is with her or with him, but I think we should give them that job. Or let's have them take care of it. I don't know what the deal is, but I think they can do it. Whatever you do, man, do it. Know your stuff. And then finally, this number four, because we're out of time. We've got 3 minutes left here. Being a Christian at your job, at work, and your witness. It's always better to show them Jesus first. What do I mean by that? I said it earlier, don't tell them, show them. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, that when they saw Peter and John, They saw their great boldness and they perceived that they were uneducated men and untrained. They marveled and they came to the conclusion that Peter and John had been with Christ. What a great statement. Look at those guys. Man, they sure look uneducated and untrained to us. Yeah, but what's with them? They're bold and they're turning the world upside down. Ah, they've been with Jesus. That's awesome. That's for all of us tonight. Show them Christ at your work without a word. Without a word. Jesus put it this way. Matthew 5:41. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, what did he say? Go two. Really? See, you think in your mind maybe you're tempted. Oh, man. 8 to 5. You ever seen those guys? Like 10 minutes before, 10 to 5, 4:50. And they're looking at the clock. You should be fired for that, in my opinion. Don't be like that. You're not showing them Jesus. And if the boss comes up at 4:59 and says, you know what, we just had this order come in. We need you to stay for a few more hours. Instead of you going, man, come on, what? The Lakers are on tonight. I mean, or whatever. You know what? It's from the hand of God. Little do you know that your water pump's going to blow out next week and you're going to need that overtime. How many times has that happened in our lives? Right? Think about it. The attitude, put that together. Take it from the hand of God. It's amazing. It'll change everything. Show them Jesus. You don't have to preach them with words. Also this. Always, always, it's always better to have them ask you first. I want to share something with you. This is a true story. And I'll keep it true because the guy that this happened to comes to this church. This was 17 years. This is 17 years ago, almost 18 years ago. And my manager had interviewed me. And in the process, I've shared this with some of you before. In the process, I had told him that I was a Christian. I told him, and I gave him the gospel in the interview because I thought I wasn't going to get the job. So I thought, well, I'm not going to get this job, so I'm going to give him Jesus. And I want to give him the job. Well, what happened was the manager wound up telling one of his lead guys who was a Mormon. He was a Mormon who was going to L. Ron Hubbard's thing, Dianetics. A Mormon going to Dianetics and into the New Age movement as well with crystals and stuff like this. I didn't know that. My first day, I'll never forget my first day on the job. My first day on the job was the day that Ronald Reagan got shot. Remember that? That was my first day on the job. And I went walking in up there and they walked me in, they sat me down. And I had not spoken to one human being except my manager in that company. But my manager had told this guy, hey, this guy coming in, he's a Christian. He gave me the gospel in the interview. Well, he told this Mormon guy, this crazy Mormon guy, he was into Dianetics and all this stuff, or whatever that thing is called. And I sit down, and I'm like, what am I doing here? And this guy comes up, and he goes, hey, my name's Craig. I said, hi, my name's Jack. And he goes, so you're a Christian, huh? First conversation at the company. So you're a Christian, huh? Yeah. Watch this. And he goes, well, you know what? I don't believe in the Holy Spirit. And I said, do you want to talk Bible? He goes, I'd love to talk Bible. And I said, I'll never forget it. I said, not now, because we're being paid by the company right now. You want to talk Bible? Let's talk Bible at break time. But we can't talk Bible now. And he just goes. Guess what happened at break time? Guess what happened at lunchtime? Guess what happened in the afternoon break? Okay? Guess what happened every day for 1 month? And then on a Monday night, he went with me to Calvary Costa Mesa and got saved. And he's walking with Jesus still today. Let God open the door and let them ask. You say, Jack, are you serious? Let them ask. Let them ask. And then finally we end with this. It's always better for them to be watching us. Don't be like this, Christian. I hope no one's seeing me. No. Be like this, Christian. Do your job. Do it. Believe me, they're watching you. Let them watch. That's your strength. That's part of the witness. Did your company install security cameras? Well, then do your hair up and look right at it and work your heart out. Be a witness. Caught on film. Susie's working her heart out. Don't be afraid of that. They're watching us. So what? Let's give it to them. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. So listen, as Christians, let's make our faith really work. Remember, we're not Christians at church. We're brothers and sisters, yes. Okay, but when we leave here, that's when Christianity becomes real. Okay? So next time we'll get together and we'll talk about being a Christian and our relationships. Predominantly, it's going to be heavily geared towards the singles. And that'd be a lot of fun. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And we get this thing in our minds, Lord, that we've got to somehow take Billy Graham's place to be an effective Christian or to command a pulpit to be some sort of a meaningful believer. And that's exactly the opposite. For when we go to our workplace, we will be the Bibles and Jesus to people that will never read the Word of God. They will never step foot into a church. We will be the only church, the only Word, the only Jesus that they'll see. And so, Father, tonight I pray for every one of these believers here tonight. Father, that first of all, you would baptize us in the power of your Holy Spirit afresh. Lord, descend upon us, fill us to overflowing, and like John and like Peter, may we proclaim and live the Christian life in boldness. So, Father, we pray this evening, make us, Lord, your children in season and out in a very public way. And, Father, may we not do anything that compromises your name. And may those that we work with know that we're believers in you. By the deeds, by how we conduct ourselves, by our very, very presence. Father, thank you. I ask you to bless these, your servants, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.